Howdy, everyone. Let's see. Oh, my cameras. It is 1 minute past, and I see Sarah is here, and I think, did I see Aaron here? Oh, yes, you're right next. So for housekeeping, the only thing I wanted to say was that this Friday will be the first meeting of the serial subgroup. The link is in the agenda, but we can put it in the notes too. It is Friday the 25th at 8:30 Eastern. And yeah, there's a link to the wiki group. And then other than that, with Sarah here, did you want to go ahead and get started talking about the unexpected behavior you found with the Ramsons?
Sure, I can do that. I was really just interested to hear about we can't, I mean, we're just about to go to Ramson's, and so I was wondering what others had done or have contemplated doing considering what we found. So just to back up, as I slacked in Ramson's when we were testing in our dry run last week, we found that if you have a piece that is related to an item and you update the piece and there's information in any of the fields that transfer to the item, so like the display summary field or enumeration, chronology, barcode, those types of fields that carry over when you're receiving. That if there's information there, data, and you later go back to the piece and make some kind of change, maybe you add a comment or you change the chronology, anything like that, and save it, the piece pushes all that data out again to the item, even if in the item, in the meantime, you've deleted the chronology or the display summary or you've had to change the barcode, for example, for some reason, the barcode that is in the piece that you originally put in the piece overwrites then the barcode that is in the item. And regardless of what the item status is. So the thing can be checked out, it can be available, it can be missing. And so to us, that was obviously a little concerning. And we were just, oh, I should back up one other thing though. If there is no data in the piece, so for example, during your receiving process, you didn't actually entered the barcode into the piece as part of your receiving process. Instead, you went like to the item in inventory and added the barcode there. It no longer push, you no longer can see that barcode that you put in the item now in the piece. And because of that, the piece has like that little blank dash. And when there's a dash in any of the fields in the piece, that does not overwrite if you make a change in the piece. So if I had a blank, I put a barcode in the item, I come back to the piece, I make some kind of change, like I add a comment, let's say, and I save it, nothing happens. Like it just, the everything stays the same. But at the same time, it looks like in the piece as if the item has never received a barcode. At least in the past, you would then see the barcode. So it was all very confusing and a little concerning because, like, we tested it out with checking something out and then changing the barcode, and it changed it. And so, yeah, so we were just wondering now, oh, well, maybe we should not add the barcode into the piece, but only into inventory.
So Molly posted something in chat. She said she thinks these are related Jiras. 3342 and 3879.
And sorry, I apologize because I only caught the end of that. I was joining a bit late, but I think you're talking about an issue that I just saw. I had a little discussion with Aaron over Slack over the last couple of days. There's an EBSCO ticket that represents this, I think. That yeah, it may have something to do with the upgrade to Ramsons. At this point, I'm still a little unsure whether that caused a specific change here, or if it's what you were describing, like just the reality that if the piece record doesn't have the barcode data, then the way that we kind of set things up a few releases ago was that it never overwrites the item barcode. Like, as long as the piece barcode is empty, it doesn't overwrite the item barcode. But the problem is, if you do populate or you have something populated in the piece and you've changed the barcode in the item, the next time you edit the piece, it will assume that you want to overwrite the item barcode information because there's barcode information in that form. So you run into this problem where the lack of synchronization is basically resulting in receiving, like, making a mess of your work, I guess. And yeah, I think the features that Molly's posting there, or at least one of them, they're related to like synchronizing the item and piece data, which
I
we
guess the thing is, so I realized that Aaron was talking to you and had reported this, obviously. I had brought it up here in part because I was just curious what other people, how are they handling it until something gets resolved. And I just wanted to also point out that there is definitely a change in behavior. This is not, to a certain degree, it works that way in Quesnelia too, but not the barcode part. So the barcode part is completely new. That the display summary, for example, it wouldn't. So if you in Quesnelia, if for example, in your item or a received piece that is an item, if you have received it and the data goes over, and then for example, I go to the item and I delete the display summary, and then I go back to the piece and I make some kind of change, add a comment. It doesn't have to be to the field itself, but the display information is in the piece, then it will now push it out again, and I will have to go back to inventory and delete it again if I don't want it there, right? But so far in Quesnelia, nothing has ever happened with the barcode that, and additionally, also the barcode has always talked back to the piece. Everything else has not, but the barcode always from the item talked back to the piece. And so I think that there is a big difference between the two. And I guess where I'm going with this too is I'm not asking for like this a blanket, the item controls everything in the piece. There's definitely reasons to have information maintained in the piece different from the item. It just, after a certain point, the item then has to be independent of the piece, right? During the receiving process, it makes sense to me that the piece kind of controls the item, but then once you've brought that item out of in process status and checked it in and made it available and then checked it out or declared it missing, or I don't know, 5 years later it's loaned 20 million times and whatever, at some point it should be independent of the piece.
Like if the piece status is received,
Right.
okay.
It should no longer be updating the item in those ways, even if I have to change something in the, like if I make a comment in the piece and save it, that shouldn't re-push all the other information out again. Like that seems, I think it needs to be field by field different.
So I think we just need to figure out what change has kind of produced this problem. Because I think it's pretty clear that something has changed
Well,
between our. We
and
did a
Joe's thing was my gut feeling that this has to do with the binding thing, especially because I remember Molly demonstrating it in the video, how you can, collapse them all to do a bindery thing and then uncollapse them all and kind of like bring the pieces and the items back from the dead. Basically, and that kind of resurrection part seems to be like that. My gut is saying that there's something there.
Like there's a cost to coming back from the dead. Oh dear.
I had to deliver the coming back from the dead. It was a requirement. But yeah, that we did a lot of work in receiving in between Quesnelia and Ramses, which is what leads me down this particular path. So yeah, no, I think it is probably more likely related to binding than to claiming, but it could theoretically be either one because we are doing a lot of messing around in that whole area there. I guess my big question is, once a piece has been received, because the real reason for the inventory interaction with the piece is to allow the piece to create the item as necessary. But once that's been done, once the piece has been received and the inventory created, is there ever really a use case where you would want to update the item from the piece?
Just for claiming and bindery reasons, right? That's the only reason. I mean, if that's where the activity is taking place.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it totally makes sense that it has to be somehow connected to that. But otherwise, no. I mean, I think the nice thing is too that the piece later should be able to be independent of the item. I think we've had discussions here where, like, if you do some kind of withdrawal type project or something, and you want to get rid of the item in inventory, but that doesn't necessarily mean you want to get rid of your piece history, right? And your receiving history, which is the piece, like you want to maintain that. So at some point, you do need this kind of like separation or ability to separate.
Right. I'm just wondering, like if we only allow the right on creation, and then once that's done, it's done, and that's it. Would that be too early? But then you don't get the barcode associated with the piece when it's received if you're dealing with
I guess
from.
I wouldn't really care about that if that was expected behavior. But since up to now, when I go to my pieces, I see all my barcodes is kind of what I come to expect. So I was shocked not to see it. It seemed all wrong, or it was shown to me, and I was like, oh yeah, that's wrong. That's weird. And then also it was very random. Like there would be some and then not others, and we could find no pattern why some of them would show up and others would not.
That is weird.
Yeah.
So I think I don't know. I don't know that we want to go down the rabbit hole of guessing what's happened, but Yeah, I'm not sure that would really be productive. But I do think before making any changes regarding how the piece interacts with the item, we definitely want to talk like field by field because you have your display summary, you have enumeration chronology, all these things. Does it really make sense for those things to get out of sync at any point in time? At the moment, I don't think we don't like if you make changes to the item, we don't move those back to the piece. So there are, I think, some people probably who rely on this idea that they can edit the piece and it updates both, but maybe I'm wrong. Like, are there folks who are careful specifically because, let's say, if the display summary was wrong or the like enumeration was written incorrectly, you would correct it from the piece so that it updates both? Or would you just forget about the piece and be updating the item record?
At that point, I really don't mind going to both places. So I would definitely update it in the item record because that's probably where I'm seeing it. Or if I am receiving another piece, the next one, and I realize I've made a mistake, then I would prefer to be able to correct it in both places independently and not have this push out thing. Because I think that is more like it's more easily that you can do something unwittingly in one place, not realizing that you're affecting the other place. And they're very, very different apps, and a lot of institutions don't have the same people working both places.
Julie.
Hi, I just want to make sure I understand the data consistency part that's kind of in development. So I hear what people are saying related to barcodes and item and piece information. How far does that go? So like if we change location information, is that is it the expectation that also gets that's information that gets transferred to the piece or not? I guess I'm not clear what are the fields that are definitely being considered for consistency between the item and the piece.
So right now, at least in the feature that was mentioned, display summary, enumeration, chronology, copy number, and all of those, as well as barcode, accession number. I think that's it at the moment.
Okay.
When you edit the piece, if you change any of those fields, Folio updates the item record. Those corresponding fields in the item record.
Dennis, it's not just those fields. So it's you save the piece. That's the thing.
Yeah,
That's why
you
I
save the
keep
piece,
saying
yeah.
I'm making
That's true.
an update to the comment. I'm purposefully using that
Yes.
as an example.
Yeah, it's very true. So it's like anytime you edit the piece, any part of the piece, anything in the piece, those fields are those fields are basically copied and pasted into the corresponding item record fields. That doesn't include location. Location There's a reference to location in the piece, but that is only used when you create the item record to assign a location to the item record. From that point on, I need to be thinking through this again now. Sorry, I was doing something very different before this meeting. If you do change the location of a piece, you are actually updating the item record as well, because you're potentially change like you're potentially moving the item to a different holding.
I guess I wasn't thinking of
Yeah.
that specifically. I was thinking of the other way around.
Yeah, the other way around, nothing happens,
Nothing.
basically.
Okay.
There is
That
no, yeah,
addressed the
currently.
concern that I was, extrapolating out in my head. So,
Yeah, nothing goes backwards at the moment.
okay, great. Thank you.
But if I can add something there, so this is also a difference between Quiznalia and ransoms. In Quiznalia, if I receive the piece on, let's say, stacks, and then in inventory, I move the item over to display. I have two holdings on the record, and I just move it over to the other one. If I go back to the piece, and I make an edit and I save it, it will pop it back to stacks without my doing anything because the piece believes it's on stacks, even if I moved
Yes.
it to inventory to display. Now, this did not happen in ransoms.
It doesn't happen in ransoms. You know what the reason that might be? If you double check the piece, the location might have actually been updated. In ransoms, I think that was when we made the change. That orders is actually listening for location changes, because we've had this problem for a long time. Like, you can drag and drop items and holdings in inventory and basically break all the links to your order records. So now orders is listening for those changes, and it's updating its own references to those things. So I have probably basically I'm now going back on what I just said, that nothing comes back. Like, as of ransoms, if you move an item to a different holding, that would actually update the piece, like the purchase order line in general, but the piece, because it would change the piece's reference to make sure the piece and the purchase order line in general reference the correct holding record. So the location may have actually changed, and that's why it's not moving the item back when you edit it again.
But only, Dennis, but only if you have a synchronized workflow. If it's an independent workflow, then the
Yes.
POL does not update.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. The POL wouldn't, but the piece location should still change when you move the item, I believe. I might have to look back at that, so I probably shouldn't say that with so much confidence. I think I if memory serves. And it's crazy, but that this Ramses were already two releases ago for us. That was like pieces are always updated, but the location information on the purchase order line only changes if it's a synchronized order, because we have to keep those things synchronized for independent orders. the locations on the POL don't actually have to be updated, so they're not updated. Because they also, you may not have, like, the quantities won't match up and all those things. So it's just the synchronization is not done. Those, but pieces should still be updated so that the reference information between orders and inventory is correct. Like the item, the item reference doesn't change, because even if you move an item to a different holding, it still has the same UUID. So the piece is still pointing at it. Nothing has changed. But the holdings reference that goes along with that has changed, because you've moved that item to a new holding that has a different UUID. So the UUID in the piece record for the holding has to be updated. And it should be happening always. And maybe I'll say, if you all can still hear me, we definitely need to investigate what's happening here. I'm not trying to argue that Folio is working the way that it should, necessarily, that something hasn't gone wrong here. But yeah, just trying to kind of clarify how we expect it to be functioning. So if you're not, if you're observing something different, please let us know, because you're probably right. I don't think whatever you're seeing, I believe you're seeing. I'm just trying to kind of communicate what our expectations are at the moment.
So, is an action that somebody needs to take is create a bug? How does that work now?
I think we may have a Jira for this, actually.
Okay.
If not, we do have a support ticket that's about to become a Jira for this. So, yeah, it'll happen very shortly.
I guess my only concern is, well, my concern is that I need to find a workaround right now, but my bigger concern is about, like, a Jira and a fix and everything, is that, again, that we don't rush into creating some kind of fix that is like a blanket fix, and then it's just going to complicate things further, right? Like, I do want us to be as a community thoughtful about this, like, oh, the piece can't update anything, or the item can't update anything. Like I said, some fields it makes sense and some fields it doesn't make sense. And at some point, like, for example, I keep mentioning this comment field. I always put that the comment field should display on the holdings record. So this is one reason why it gets updated so often, or why I'm updating it so often, is because I'm adding more information sometimes into it as I get it, so that it will later display, so that it will display on the holdings record. So I wouldn't want that to now be cut off at the knee, so to speak, right? Like that, oh, well, we're not going to let the piece, once it's, a year old and received, ever talk to inventory again, right? Like, so a lot of things talk to the item, but not everything talks to the item. There's also the holdings record to consider. And then I guess I hadn't really realized this about the, I'm glad you brought this up, Dennis, or and with Julie's question, as I see, yes, now I've opened the piece that we had moved around, and I can see that it has updated where it's located in the piece. And that's really great. But then actually, I realized, oh, that would actually be really good then to have displayed in the overview. If now I can no longer just assume I know where the thing is because I know where the POL should put it. You know, if I'm always thinking from ongoing orders, periodicals, right? So I can have, you know, 50, 100 items that or pieces that I'm skimming here. And then it would be really, really helpful for me to realize, oh, these three are now on this other holdings. And maybe, you know, maybe that's an issue that needs cleaning up or something. And then I would go to inventory to do it, just FYI.
Noted. Yeah, I think we, as soon as this Jira gets created, it'll come to Joe or myself, so we can make sure that we have a little discussion about the approach with the SIG. I think that's absolutely a good idea. Yeah.
So I'm not sure if this ties in. Before the meeting, I was reviewing the implementers topic page for stuff that still topics that still had an open status. One of them was implementers topic 123. It was posted a while back, and the note on it says to hold off discussing until Quiznalia, but it was about the receiving app fields from holding item level and piece information. I don't know. If that's in any way related to this topic as well.
I think so. I think we were holding off because of the serials application being implemented. Because this, the conversation like of the alignment between inventory feeds all kind of got stirred up again when the serials application was introduced, because they're introducing patterns that define, a description of a piece, which may in fact be an item, or there could be many pieces in an item, or et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, it all kind of came up alongside of that. So I think that discussion is happening in the, well, maybe Joe knows this because I haven't attended, but and maybe they haven't met yet, but there's a serials group that's probably gonna, I would imagine, gonna talk a little bit about that type of thing.
Okay. Yeah, the
That
first
might be a
meeting is this
conversation.
Friday. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So that may happen there, I think.
Okay. So is Sarah's question addressed? I guess, Sarah, you were also looking for a workaround if anybody had any suggestions. I'm not sure I heard an answer for that. Did we get that for you?
I mean, I was just curious if other people had realized this was happening and what they had done accordingly. You know, like I said, I've been thinking I'm going to tell everybody that does receiving, do not enter barcodes into the piece until this is fixed. I'm most worried about the barcode aspect. You know, there suddenly is this display summary data element that we had deleted away, right? Then it's more like a ghosting thing. The barcode seems, you know, if it can be checked out and then the barcode changes again and it comes back, then that's a bigger problem.
Unfortunately, we don't use the receiving app, and we're probably quite a few months away still from upgrading to Ramzin, so I'm not in a position to be able to offer any advice there, but anybody else here have any thoughts? Yeah, Julie posts that they only use receiving for monographs. That's the same here at A&M.
I guess I can mention that we do use this receiving for both monograph and periodicals, but our workflow is different in a sense that in our previous system we don't add barcode at time of receiving, so the barcode is added in the inventory, I mean piece part. So that's why we follow that process, so we didn't the we interact in the receiving, basically make sure that we receive the piece in there, that because that has a date when you receive what, and then the rest pretty much done in inventory, adding the item barcode. But I did learn something interesting that Sarah mentioned, the comment field in the receiving that you can add comments and you will display. So that part is interesting. I had not thought about that's possible. But I guess at this point, because the workflow is kind of set in a way that it's kind of, we've used Folio a few years now, so it's kind of hard like to do an overhaul of our process unless it's something makes sense. So, but so sorry, couldn't help you much there, Sarah.
Suzanne Gill posted in chat that the no the University of, and I'm sorry, I know I'm going to not pronounce this right, Regensburg, Sabrina Bayer uses the receiving app, but they also uses the receiving app, but they just migrated to Folio like a month ago, and the update to Ramzins has not even been discussed at BBB yet. Well, Sarah, I guess let us know if what workaround do you end up doing and how it works out until,
No, I mean, it's
yeah.
definitely, so it's also just it while we discovered this through our workflow when we were testing for periodicals, because it's super obvious then, this also applies to monographs, one-time orders, synchronized. This is no different. The piece item information behaves exactly the same. So it's actually there for me. The workflow of adding the barcode is a bigger deal because that actually turned out to be a really nice workflow. You just do pop up your piece and you check off the things, you put in the barcode and you do quick receive and bingo, you're done. It's processed. It's in process, right? And then you can hand it off for end processing, you know, the stamping, the spine label, blah, blah, blah. You know, by a student worker. So, but you know, we do have certain volumes where the barcode drops off if you haven't like really put it on there, right? Like those cloths with the texture. And so I can imagine one disappearing, somebody slapping a new one on, going to the item, entering it, you know, thinking they're doing great, putting the extra filmy stuff on top to secure it. And now, if anybody goes back to the piece for any reason and hits save, then it will be overwritten, right? So I'm just saying, don't think just because all my examples were periodicals that it only applies to receiving periodicals.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking I'm gonna, as soon as this recording's available, I'm gonna share it with our monograph acquisitions person. So, yeah. Molly?
Hi, I just popped in the chat a little bit earlier, a potential update, because I think that this is definitely something we'd want to call out in the documentation to alert people that might not attend this meeting or read the notes. But I just wasn't sure, number one, if the proposed disclaimer I put in chat is acceptable to people, and the position that I propose putting it. And also, should I wait on doing this disclaimer until Dennis and Joe have a chance to triage the Jira that will be created.
I'm going to let Dennis or Joe respond to that.
We're doing some back-end triaging on the issue, so we'll loop back with you shortly.
Okay, that sounds great. And once I hear from you and your thoughts on it, I can put in a pull request to have it updated in GitHub.
Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
All right, well, from there, one of the things I mentioned a little bit ago, and I put this on the agenda, I was reviewing the implementers page for implementers that are topics that still had an open status. It sounds like the 123, I'm not sure what status that would get if it's going to be moved to a discussion on in the Serials app subgroup. I'll just start with one of the older ones. Implementers topic 102 was placed by Sarah in February 23, and it was discussed on July and August of that year and still has an open status. I was wondering if that could be changed to closed. Dennis had made a comment that after we investigate this, or they decided to look at the logs and kind of discuss it with Sarah individually. So I don't know if that's a topic. I don't know if y'all can review that just real quick. 102.
I can't find the link to the implementers page. Could
Oh, here, yeah, I'll give that to you.
Thanks. Sorry.
Oh, no worries. Did I post the right link? Oops. I might have posted the wrong link. Hold on. There you go. I think that's the right link for the implementers.
Thanks. Okay. And then what was the number? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I think it was, let me go back. I think it was 102.
Yeah, 102.
102, yes.
At the time this ticket was written, by the time I got to it, SFTP is now supported.
So this can be moved to closed.
I think there's a the issue is that some institutions may just want to do the manual download still. But I don't know if that's a broad use case. But I think technically, like, it is now possible to get an SFTP to work with Folio.
It is true. So I prefer just doing the manual download. And I think it was also noted here that the language is just really weird because it says this, like that there, but I've just gotten used to it. So if you do a manual download and it says error, it's not that it failed, it is a true error that it didn't go to the FTP site. Because I don't have one in there. So I'm fine with it now. So it can be closed, but for anybody coming new to it, it does read a little weird when you're doing it.
So, do we need to address that in any way?
I think it sounds like we can close the conversation on this.
Okay.
One or two, yeah.
Okay. All right, the next one that was still open. Oh, yeah. So 107, implementer topic 107 was a Lehi request. There's not a date on it, but I did do a search and it was discussed on August 15th and August 18th in 2023 about adding the reporting code field to invoice and purchase orders. There's a couple of actions listed. Ask Owen to provide a review of supplementary properties to confirm whether any of that would work or could be reused to address this issue. And Dennis was going to start a wiki page that explores pros and cons of multiple approaches. Should this be like an in progress or addressed? Yeah, I don't know where we're at on that one.
Sorry, which number was that? I was just sending that to
107.
you. 107. Lehigh is here, by the way.
Oh, okay. You have any thoughts?
Well, over here, I still think this is quite relevant just because there's so many ongoing projects and different silos of ordering.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering, since this time the custom fields were implemented, where we be settings. Fields, two enhanced tags, three enhanced Yeah, I think that the custom fields were added.
But it's just to keep in mind, part of this is for non-acquisitions personnel to
Right.
add things to orders and invoices that aren't part of the normal acquisitions workflow.
Like for non-acquisitions people to edit the orders and invoices, or just like attach files or something. Like I imagine this code, it is like a tag in that it's like a descriptor. But and you would use it for reporting, like searching and filtering and other sort of reporting workflows. But it is am I did I hear that right? That like you would possibly want folks who can't actually process orders or invoices to be able to add these codes. Or just to be able to see them.
And just keeping in mind, these might be added after the order's closed. So you might think of it as something like tags, but with a controlled vocabulary.
Yeah, so they could pick from a certain number of them. Yeah.
Kristen put in chat or like a statistical code in inventory.
Yeah. It's a controlled vocabulary of terms. But I missed the first part of what your response was. The folks who cannot actually edit invoices would be able to add these to invoices,
So as I
or
recall, we had several ideas, like as you said, the custom fields, enhancing how tags function, and doing some kind of controlled vocabulary setup within something else that's existing.
right. But does it need to be possible for a user that doesn't have permission to edit orders or invoices to be able to add this descriptor? Or is it just necessary for them to, like, for example, if they were going to create a list of orders, they would need to be able to create that list based on like the code. I wonder if maybe Dan's having problems with his microphone. I don't know if anyone else could hear a response, but
I can hear you, but I don't hear Daniel.
okay. Because yeah, I'm the more that this type of thing is discussed, the more that it sort of seems to me like a logical use case for custom fields. However, there isn't such thing as custom fields for invoices at the moment. But for the order, you know, the purchase order line, the purchase order, you can add custom fields to. That could obviously be a controlled vocabulary. You could add as many of those as you want. And it seems like these statistical codes that we're talking about would be very specific to an institution. Like they're definitely not a general thing necessarily that would be shared across, you know, like specific codes that many institutions use. Whenever we've talked about this type of thing, it also seems like different libraries manage this differently. Like you may have some of this reporting, so to speak, or some of this like data built into funds in some way, or like there are a number of kind of adjacent use cases for this type of data point. And to me, like because of that, it seems like really lends itself to either tags or custom fields. Tags might be an obvious one because you can apply tags to both orders and invoices today. The only trouble with tags is there's no controlled vocabulary. It's a total free for all. So it would be, you know, too error prone, probably, for it to be really desirable. But it seems like it really is kind of between those two things. We really want to try to avoid making order lines more complicated. And I could be wrong about that, and I would love to hear everyone's opinion on that again, because, you know, many years ago, we were still kind of working on adding fields to order records. And in particular, the purchase order line, a lot of the feedback was that these order lines are already so complex. There are just so many fields already. For the average library, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but maybe smaller libraries with simpler workflows, all of those fields are just opportunities for confusion, kind of like they make the folio interface less accessible, less friendly, which is something that we would try to, ideally we would avoid. And I think things like custom fields specifically address that problem, because led by leveraging custom fields, every library can have their own very unique, very tailored workflow. But there's other, you know, there are obviously other trade-offs there. So, and then of course tags, just because the whole purpose of tags is really just labeling things with a searchable data point. The problem is tags just haven't evolved for a long time, I think, because a lot of libraries weren't really interested in using them. There was deeper desire to kind of have specific fields added to records to track a lot of those.
types of things. Anyway, I'm rambling, so I'm going to stop talking now. But I think this obviously we don't have an answer for today. So we're probably leaving open. But I'll leave a
Okay.
note here based on this kind
Like
of
open or in
added
progress? I guess
conversation.
would it be changed to
I
in
think it's
progress or?
still, I think it, oh yeah, I guess it's supposed, it could be in progress.
Because, yeah.
That's true.
Because I was
I'll
looking at
change it to
the.
in progress.
Okay. Yeah. Because I wasn't sure if to me, open was meaning like it needed to be discussed still, but I wasn't sure
I wish
where
we
we're at
had,
there.
I wish we had a group of folks that wanted to kind of enhance tags to make them more useful. And this is totally just my opinion, but like tags functionality makes a lot of sense. There's just not enough functionality there in Folio tags functionality for it to be really useful. But it just feels to me like that gap isn't very large. And so putting a little more effort into tags might open up a whole bunch of opportunities where, you know, adding another field to the order line is just going to make orders a little more complicated, but probably address this, but serve a very limited use case.
Now, a few
You
quite a few
know?
people have posted in chat that they use tags, so.
Nice. Well, that's really good to know. I actually, I mean, I'm not involved too much with tags, but my impression was that not many libraries were using tags. So maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, we use tags too. We just have limited it because I guess our concern was having too many because it said it would be nice if we could limit the tags to like a unit. And I guess right now the tags are like the whole everybody in the library, all the different departments. It's just the one tag group. So
Yeah.
we kind of limit how many we let people use.
I feel like you just said a killer feature that could be added to tags, tag groups. So you could define like a set list of tags as a specific group of tags that would be used.
I think we would use it a lot more
And
if we
like,
could limit it to this is our department's
yeah.
tags versus having to scroll through the entire library's all the department's tags.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we'll leave this in progress because it requires more
More
analysis.
discussion.
Yeah.
Well,
And just haven't had a chance to look at it.
okay, we have 1 minute left, and I'll just say that we will keep working through this. Quite a few of these that still have open status. So if there's other topics that come up, we'll certainly address them first. And in the meantime, we'll just keep working through everything that says open to get updates on them. So if that works, we'll see y'all. The next meeting is next week on Friday.
Sounds great.
All right, thank y'all.
Thank you.
Have a good
Thank
one.
you.
Thanks.
Bye.